Welcome to the program for Thursday, August 8th, 2013, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Today, it's an encore presentation of my industry chatter conversation with Tim Hext. He is the Chief Technology Officer at AgileX. It was good to have Tim in the studio.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks.
You are here because of something that you wrote on the AgileX blog, Realize the Value, which I just, it meant a lot to me because it sounded like something I could have written that I related to. But I think the context for people who work in the space that we work in, the government business space, I think there's a lot here to think about. And so I'm happy to have you come on and talk about this issue. It deals with data, and you started out pretty straightforward. I love data. I love gadgets. Now, guys are gadget people.
Right.
So there are not as many ladies, it seems to me, that are into the gadgets. And you get into that in your piece a little bit, kind of contrasting you and your wife. Talk about where you were going here.
Well, originally, this was meant to be a little bit of a lighthearted look, but as an analogy for maybe some of the big data problems that we are seeing in government. But as a dude who likes gadgets and data, I'm smitten with gadgets that collect data, and I have a lot of them. And the maybe it's a I'm on a constant search for finding some new way of putting another sensor in my world. In the blog, I mentioned to reference to my wife that she doesn't get this. It's not so much about the gadgets. Well, maybe it is a little bit about the gadgets, but, or what I spend on them. But it's really about what she sees as an obsession with collecting data about seemingly useless aspects of my life. And maybe it harkens back to this idea when our kids were little, and she would caution me to watch them grow up, not watch them through the lens of a video camera. And are you living life or are you recording and measuring your life? And I say, yeah, I get it. But now, 17 years later, how glad are we have that footage of our kid learning to walk?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I always like not only applying the technology, but gathering the data and recording it and analyzing it. And she's a little bit more in the moment of the real world. And so we spar on that issue a bit.
Well, you put in this post something that I think gets right at the essence of the kind of the controversy, the battle that goes on inside agencies. You're talking about a cool new device that you wanted, and she says, why on earth do you want to know all that stuff?
Right.
And this is kind of the conflict that I hear about inside agencies. They have all this data. So why do we collect all this stuff? Why are we doing this? And I guess that's coming with the realization of the ability to collect all of this information, which agencies didn't even really have a long time ago, or at least to sort through it and see what all is there.
Well, there are two things, I think. One is, yes, how do I take advantage of all the data I have been collecting? And am I collecting something new just because I can?
Mm-hmm.
And we see this a lot when someone is talking about a new and advanced technology they would like to put in place, and they would like to analyze that data in some compelling new way. And we say, well, hold on. You have all this other much more straightforward stuff that you're not doing yet. Why are you enamored by that newest, latest, and greatest thing? That is an appeal that I understand,
mm-hmm.
because, like I said, it's a little bit about being able to because we can. In my personal experience with that I mentioned in the blog, yes, just being able to gather this data, and in this case, it's mostly sensor data about me and my life, you know, within the form of these gadgets. But just being able to gather it is neat and all. But it really becomes meaningful when we do something to it with it. And that's mostly about figuring out how to use it to understand how I might optimize something.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it might be, how do I optimize my activity level or the way I drive or my health or what? In government, it's how do I optimize a business process? How do I streamline the way I execute my mission? And if the data that there's a, as we get into big data and we're gathering so much data that maybe it's not apparent at first, it's important to recognize that the extra data, all the what maybe is perceived as noise, all that additional data has value because it provides a backdrop for the data that we're interested in. And so we hear a lot that, you know, I really just want to collect the meaningful data. But in some ways, you can only tell what's meaningful against the backdrop of all data. And it's like a painting that has no background. If it looks flat, you know, and then when you paint in the background, you go, oh, he's on a ship. Mm-hmm. You know, I see the whole picture.
Yeah.
And so we have an expression in analytics that data trumps technique all the time. I'd always almost rather have more data to give clarity to the data I care about than, you know, some necessarily fancier way of selecting out each into particular bit of data. And this debate becomes more and more important as we talk about bigger and bigger data sets. And frankly, them not choosing to gather this data just being thrust upon them mm-hmm. from so many directions.
Now, that's a little bit of a different construct than some of the other technology phenomena that we've been through over the years, because I went back and looked at a couple of different things. And my sense is that generally, when a new kind of technology or a new fad, for lack of a better word, comes along in technology and government, we have people who engage in a lot of activity surrounding it right away. Then there's a winnowing process where we figured out that we don't have to do all of this. Maybe we just do a certain portion of it. And then after that winnowing process, there's kind of a plateau and a settling in where, okay, now we've determined what's really relevant to the mission and what really helps us rather than just doing something because it's cool. And that's how things proceed for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The construct that you're talking about around data is potentially could be different moving forward, because if the suggestion is that we want to continue to collect as much as we can, or maybe continue more to offer that background and offer that context, then we're looking at a different dynamic than what we've seen in the past around other kinds of developments.
Well, we also see maybe a overlap between what a particular government organization is doing in the acquisition of their IT to solve a particular problem and what everyone else is doing in industry and other parts of government, in education, where all of a sudden our data sets might help inform each other. So imagine, I don't know, NOAA that gathers all of this weather data, and they might gather minutiae about the weather that you would say, holy mackerel, why would I care? And in the past, in the example you just used, I was focused maybe on my little bit of a problem, but now that everybody can bring something to the party and I say, hey, what if I look at my problem as a layer on top of the weather, I might see a different insight. And so, and then it's not just the weather, it's the hundreds of other commercial and other government sources of information that might inform what I'm doing. And so it's in this case, maybe you're right. Maybe the thread you were following is more about the technology as an innovation
uh-huh.
rather than the data as an innovation and our ability now to layer them, aggregate them, bounce them off one another gives us a whole different way of having this pot get bigger and bigger rather than more focused.
That gets right at the heart of one of the things that I've been thinking about big data that I want to talk about later on in the program, but we'll continue in a minute. I want to talk about the quality versus quantity point some more when we come back. Tim Hecht, the Chief Technology Officer at Agilex, is my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, join host Bill Bransford as he talks with reporters covering the federal community about the hot issues right now and what to expect in the coming months.
Please join Max Kakis, host of AFCEA Answers, Friday, August 9th at 2.05 p.m. He'll be joined by a panel of government and industry professionals to discuss cloud computing. Panel includes Dave McClure, Associate Administrator of GSA. Don't miss AFCEA Answers with Max Kakis, Friday, August 9th at 2.05 p.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. and online at federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by AFSEA International and brought to you by Cisco.
At BAE Systems, we always focus on keeping troops safe. One challenge military pilots face, it's called a brownout. When helicopter pilots confront dust storms or fog, the risk of collision is much higher. That's why we created a technology that lets pilots see terrain and obstacles through these conditions. Knowing our work helps to save lives inspires us every day. We'll be there on the next front. That's BAE Systems. That's inspired work. Learn more at baesystems.com/nextfront.
For over a century, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth in our nation's capital. The club's new STEAM initiative uses the arts to teach science, technology, engineering, and math. Today, more than ever, we need your support of STEAM. It will encourage our youth to think rather than memorize, create rather than copy, and to be resourceful rather than reserved. So visit boysandgirlsclubs.org. Send a dollar or more as an investment to help us help our kids pick up STEAM. Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, great futures start here.
This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
The Information Management Minute, provided by Iron Mountain.
Federal providers across the country are preparing to comply with a provision of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 to create and show meaningful use of electronic medical records to retain their existing Medicaid and Medicare reimbursement levels. Electronic health records will help to keep patients informed, improve care, reduce health disparities, and improve security of patient information. Hitting this milestone requires a strategic approach to record conversion, backup plans, and the appropriate destruction of paper records that are still in use.
Is your agency looking to realize better efficiencies and cost savings through a proven information management program? Iron Mountain stores and protects billions of information assets, including paper records, backup tapes, electronic files, and medical data, helping federal agencies manage their entire information lifecycle. Learn more at ironmountain.com/radio.
Many Americans will use a federal data hub to buy health insurance come October 1st. I'm Emily Kopp. On Friday's Federal Drive, we'll look at the security of that system with HHS Assistant Inspector General Kay Daly. And furloughs are a double whammy when both you and your spouse work for the same agency. One IRS employee shares his story. It starts at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And for the latest federal news, check out federalnewsradio.com.
This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Every single agency right now is dealing with the big data issue. My guest on Industry Chatter today is talking about that, the Chief Technology Officer at Agilex, Tim Hext, writing about me and my data on the Agilex blog, and we have a link to it later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And one of the things that I took away from what you wrote, and when you put it in the context of the federal business space, is you like gadgets that collect information that tell you stuff. Mm-hmm. Federal agencies like the same thing. But with the volume that's coming now, making sense of that, quality data versus quantity of data is starting to become a little trickier for it's kind of a tricky balance for agencies to strike, it seems to me. When you look at that issue, and especially in the backdrop of what you talked about earlier, where it's a good idea to collect as much as you can, but it also means that you have to ferret through all of that and figure out what it all means and figure out what you can use all of it for, it seems to me. Is that fair to say?
It is. It depends how you're using that data. So, for instance, one thing we hear a lot from organizations that have increasing volumes of data is they tend to look at how they might use that in legacy ways. And the expression you've heard 1,000 times is, I'm looking for a needle in a haystack. And if that haystack is so big, finding the needle is hard. Whereas in fact, that's not necessarily the problem we're seeing more and more. It's, I'm looking for a particular piece of hay, or I'm looking for a needle in a big stack of needles, mm-hmm. like which one is it? And it's not so black and white that I'm just trying to search for that one small thing in that vast amount of data. So if you think about big data now, being a tool to help inform, a collection of questions that are important to me in my mission, then it has a different kind of perspective. And it might not mean that I have to look at every little bit of it. It might mean that a thin layer of it summarized across, you know, all of my data just adds clarity to what I'm looking at. So it's a little bit of mixing a new technique for leveraging data in contrast with the, you know, our traditional ways of thinking about, holy mackerel, now I have a whole gigabyte of data. How am I going to deal with that, mm-hmm. you know, in the past? And I don't think people have necessarily made that transition in its entirety yet. For those who have and really think of it just as yet another asset, where its size is not necessarily the issue, it might be, you know, they talk about with big data, volume, velocity, and a variety. You know, it's not just the volume, but it's also how quickly it's coming in. It might be that I just can't digest it that quick. And it also might be that it's not so much, it's just of a type I haven't been able to deal with in the past. It's spatial data, or it's imagery data, or it's time-based stream data, or whatever. And so measuring what's valuable to me in the kinds of questions that are important to me is really the secret in understanding how to leverage these. It's not just how do I make that big pile of hay somehow smaller,
yeah.
which is an old way of thinking.
Right. Well, tell me about that transition, because I think that gets right at the crux of what a lot of agencies are trying to deal with right now, making that transition from thinking about this just as a big box of things to a tool that is going to help them understand something, because that's really it, I think.
Yeah, because we think a lot about big data sets when we add them to the analytic mix.
Yeah.
As it's not what's in that data. It's how that data adds a flavor to all of our data. And so, for instance, in a lot of our analytics, we add training data to a big data set so that it gives context to the data around it. And that transition, well, that's the rub, I guess. Mm-hmm. That transition is a little bit about folks looking past what they perceive as the short-term technical issues associated with big data. Are my network pipes big enough? Are my storage subsystems large enough? You know, they tend to think about, can I even consume it?
Mm-hmm.
To get to this mental shift of how it augments my analytic process.
Yeah.
And frankly, that comes the first time they see some magical answer in their data that they did not know they were looking for,
mm-hmm.
That they see how that new data source made that answer possible, even though that answer wasn't in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's really the essence of the struggle that I hear people having mm-hmm. with the data. This isn't just an individual piece of it. I think this is the whole enchilada.
Now, this is frankly what makes it hard. And we see this pain in our business every day, because we are very good at working hard analytic problems. And we say to somebody, hey, we could work your hard analytic problem. And they say, well, how? What question could you answer?
Right.
And we say, well, I don't know. Let us look at your data and see if some good things come out when we apply our skills that you didn't know you were looking for. And they say, well, I guess I'll know it when I see it.
Right.
And it has to put the egg before the chicken a little bit when we're used to doing it the other way around. And it makes it challenging, most of all, for people to get started.
Yeah.
Because you can't, for example, experiment with a little bit of data, because it doesn't work. You don't get the answers. So the only time you start to see how valuable it is when you actually try it, and people are a little nervous about trying it if they don't know what they're going to get from it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a little bit of a catch-22 there.
It sounds like you're confirming what I've heard from other sources and deduced from listening to people talking about this, which is the people who are making that transition successfully are making it in their heads, mm-hmm. between their ears, not technologically. They're not getting it because they're examining a certain kind of technology, or they're upgrading something from something to something else,
right.
or any of that kind of stuff.
That's right.
It's an understanding that they and their teams are coming to about how they have to think differently than they've thought before in order to be successful in this area.
That's right.
Am I getting that?
I think so. Or they had an experiment maybe where they were able to prove the concept with a collection of data that was of a reasonable enough size that it offered them something new. And when they have those kinds of insights is when all of a sudden they see a spark that they want to throw gasoline on, mm-hmm. and then they get big quickly. And the value that can come from some of these analytic techniques is extraordinary. And but you've got to get everybody to the point where they believe it and recognize that.
Yeah. Well, let's dig into that a little bit more, that starting point, that spark that we try to that we're trying to look for when we come back. Tim Hext of AgileX, my guest on Industry Chatter today on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Back in just a moment.
When faced with opportunities and challenges, it's important to have a reliable information technology partner on your side. Make a confident choice with GovConnection. Our extensive experience serving the federal marketplace ensures we can identify and apply the right purchasing vehicles to equip your organization with the right tools to accomplish your mission. The IT marketplace is full of companies who claim to be different. Choose GovConnection. Call 800-800-0019. Sponsored by BlackBerry. Built to keep you moving.
Achieve continuous monitoring through the Security Connected Framework from McAfee. Built on more than two decades of proven security practices, the Security Connected approach helps agencies improve security posture, optimize security for greater cost effectiveness, and align security strategically with mission objectives. Visit futureagency.com to learn more. That's futureagency.com. For each unique visitor to futureagency.com, $1 will be donated to the Wounded Warrior Project.
This week's Experts in Health topic is heat-related illnesses, featuring Dr. Ann Hellerstein, a pediatrician with the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group, who practices at Kaiser Permanente's Gaithersburg Medical Center.
In the summer, when your child is exercising or spending time in the sun, it's important to be aware of heat-related illnesses. Exercising during hot weather and overdressing increase your child's risk. Chills, dark-colored urine, dizziness, dry mouth, headaches, thirst, and weakness are common signs of heat-related illness in children. To prevent this, make sure your child drinks plenty of water before, during, and after being active, and takes a hydration break every 20 minutes. Also, when temperatures hit over 100 degrees, it's important to encourage your child to play indoors rather than outside.
Dr. Hellerstein was recently recognized as a top doctor in Washingtonian Magazine and was a 2012 Washington Post Super Doctor. For more information, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctors.
The Advanced Alliance Solutions team, led by Technical and Management Resources, Inc., is a GSA Alliance small business contract holder. Here's President and CEO Linda Carr.
The Advanced Alliance Solutions team consists of seven IT firms. Collectively, our core competencies cover all of the functional areas of the Alliance contract and supports agencies' enterprise IT requirements. For potential small business teaming opportunities, please contact us at advancedalliant.com.
To learn more, visit advancedalliant.com.
Breakfast Benefits from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. A study finds eating breakfast may have benefits for women. The study examined the insulin and sugar levels of 9 overweight and obese women after eating or not eating breakfast. After eating a meal, the body releases insulin to manage sugar levels. Choosing not to eat breakfast may cause the body to need more insulin to manage sugar levels, a condition known as insulin resistance. Based on this study and others, it takes 3 hours following lunch for glucose and insulin levels to return to normal. Elizabeth Thomas is a researcher at the University of Colorado School of Medicine.
Breakfast skippers are more likely to be overweight or obese and have a higher risk for type 2 diabetes.
The study, presented at the Endocrine Society's annual meeting, was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
We're all different. But if we all stand up as one, no one stands alone.
Won't you stand up, stand up, stand up?
One by one, we can change the world. It's up to you and me. On Monday, October 7th, let's all wear our blue shirts for World Day of Bullying Prevention.
Won't you stand up and use your voice?
Get your blue shirt at stompoutbullying.org.
Now your Federal News Radio cybersecurity update, afternoons at 30 minutes past the hour. About 24 corrupted emails were sent to senior members at the Education Department. That's according to new results of a Freedom of Information Act request from the Federal Times. The report says it happened back in 2011. Education officials clicked links in an email, and on first glance, the messages looked legitimate. They came from arnie.duncan@ymail.com. Federal Times says the Education Department Inspector General would not disclose how much and what kind of data the hackers found. You get your cybersecurity update afternoons at 30 minutes past the hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Back on In-Depth, Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Industry chatter today with Tim Hext of AgileX. And Tim, writing about data and using data in a personal context, but there's a great analogy for what you're writing here when it comes to the federal government. You're writing about gadgets that you love, and I totally relate to that. And all of these gadgets collect information about your health and your driving habits and all of those kinds of things. But as I read your piece, and we have it linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, what I detected was somewhat of what I detect sometimes in government, and that is somebody sees that something is possible, and they say, well, we could do something with that, so they go do it. You saw the gadget that would allow you to collect information about your car and your driving habits, and you went and got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw one that you write about that helps to monitor your activity level and your sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got it on you.
I do.
And they're not necessarily connected to each other. They don't relate to each other. They're useful, but it doesn't sound like there was a strategy for you to acquire the ability to collect that information.
Yes, I think that's right. And when they cost a few dollars and I'm doing it as a stocking stuffer, it's not that big a deal for me to go get one because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I can reverse engineer a reason for having collected that data, maybe.
Yeah.
And frankly, in the questions I ask in the blog about how I might analyze this data, do that a bit, because the point being that as I gather this sensor data, one of them, my activity monitor, might help me improve my health. And frankly, that one was purposeful. I was trying to lose some weight,
mm-hmm.
and so I got something to monitor at my activity. And we have a contest at work that where people take the fewest steps and get prizes, take the most steps, get prizes, and it's about improving your health.
Mm-hmm.
The driving one is pure and simple, just seems neat.
Yeah.
But the question then becomes, as I start to gather this data, can I bounce them against one another and start to say, does my activity level affect my sleep? And does my sleep level affect how aggressively I drive? And if so, can I become a better driver by taking more steps at work? And now, that's a pretty simple thread, and it's a data set of one. It's just about me. Where it really gets interesting, I think, is in the aggregate. And we're not looking at how Tim's activity level affects Tim's driving across these sensors, but maybe in aggregate, can we start to see how folks in the Northeast drive at different times of the year, and how does that impact, you know, traffic, and how does it? And so imagine the supersets of these data, and it's not just about my sensors; it's about all of them that are out there aggregate and done so in a way that is meaningful, not just neat.
Yeah, you when you think about it in that way, it strikes me that the concept of pulling all of this stuff together and combing it and massaging it to tell you things. That's an abstract concept, because you need to decide what it is you think you can get out of it. Like, you just connected three dots there with those three pieces of information that I wouldn't have thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we're structured well in the federal government to be able to think abstractly. And I'm not sure. Because that's not the, typically the way that IT has operated for however long IT has existed. It's we need to solve a problem, a box or a widget or whatever solves that problem. We acquire that box or widget. We put it in place. We turn it on. If it works, we're happy. If it doesn't work, we fix it. And then we're happy when it's fixed. And that's the end of it. And we get on to the next thing is how it's historically been. And that's exactly the opposite of how of what we're talking about here.
Well, and this maybe gets me on a soapbox I've been on here before, which is about the nature of the way technology innovation and at one extreme basic science and another extreme IT is deteriorating in government to some extent. It used to be government was the place that people wanted to go in order to explore those kinds of new abstract thoughts and innovations. And now maybe the direction that government IT leadership has to follow is much more tactical, as you say. It is I have a service to provide and a service to deliver, and I need to acquire the technologies that are minimally sufficient to deliver that service. And we're not thinking about new kinds of basic innovations. Now, there are clearly pockets of people inside government that are doing that. There is innovation going on in labs and so on. But the opportunities for the kind of abstract thinking that you're talking about to have an impact that is leaps and bounds beyond the tactical steps that can be taken is not only – I think it's less about – whether the folks think that way, because I hear it every day, them saying, oh, it'd be great if we could do that. It'd be great. Like they think that way, but they're constrained by their processes, by their procurement processes. For instance, it's very difficult for the government to buy a solution based on a theory.
Mm-hmm.
We believe this will work. Let's go buy the technology to try. That's not how they procure things. And as a taxpayer, I'm a fan of them not overdoing that, right? So they have to have some discipline that says there's a legislative requirement that we do X by this date and we're going to acquire just the right, you know. And so it's in some ways it's not the way they're structured. So increasingly they've been learning from the way industry solves this, and industry can say, hey, we're just going to go try something, you know, and if we can save a nickel a billion times, that's a lot of money. And so we're going to try and do it. And then the government can say, well, how can we leverage that expertise in our mission? And my guess is that's the way of the future, more so than government thinking it is the place at which those innovations are researched.
I'm encouraged, though, by what you're saying, because a friend of mine who's wrestling with this problem, as you are, said that the payoff is going to be when people think, when their thought instinctively is, what if we wanted to know ... applying that logic to whatever information they've collected and whatever their mission is what this guy thinks the payoff is.
Well, I think there's a payoff beyond that, though, which is, holy mackerel, I didn't even know that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
And that is such an abstract idea. But the real gems are when we see things in the data that we – there's a lot of times we see things we didn't know we could ask. You know, you might say, wow, I didn't even dream that I could ask that question. But when the data shows us things that we didn't even think of, but yet are really valuable and important, that's really where it starts to, I think, be truly exciting. And those are going to be the real leaps. Figuring out how to make a business process a little optimized is cool and all. So, for instance, let's go back to my example. This morning I took the elevator at work. I was on a weird floor I took the elevator, and I realized that it might have been the first time in a month that I've been in the elevator. And I think that's simply because I wear this activity thing. Now I take the stairs. It's just that simple. And so that's a very tactical way of using this data to optimize, in this case, my well-being, right? But if someone at a larger level is looking at all of this data and can make draw conclusions about health and activity and blood pressure and temperature and all the things that all these sensors are gathering that no one slice of that could perceive, because I don't have all that data or I don't even know what the right questions are, then that represents, in my mind, a kind of meaningful leap that goes far beyond individual optimization, which is swell, but not enough.
Yeah. Well, that's where I want to go next, is pulling all of this together and trying to formulate a strategy to avoid the shiny object syndrome that we see in government a lot. We'll do that when we come back. Tim Hecht of Agilex is my guest on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Continue in just a moment.
We're all different, but if we all stand up as one, no one stands alone.
Won't you stand up, stand up, stand up?
One by one, we can change the world. It's up to you and me. On Monday, October 7th, let's all wear our blue shirts for World Day of Bullying Prevention.
Won't you stand up and use your voice?
Get your blue shirt at stompoutbullying.org.
Don't miss Game Day the Navy Way this fall in Annapolis. Order your 2013 Navy football season tickets today and secure your reserve seat for the Navy versus Air Force game on Saturday, October 5th. Tickets are going fast. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by visiting NavySports.com. That's 1-800-US-4-NAVY or NavySports.com to get yours today. Navy football, Game Day, the Navy Way.
Steve Richardson saved the life of a kidnapped 5-year-old boy. William Baruki helped discover Earth-like planets 1,200 light-years away. And Dave Brumel has been called the Steve Jobs of the Social Security Administration. These individuals are among the 31 federal employees named finalists for this year's Service to America medals. The awards honor feds advancing the health, safety, and well-being of Americans. Hear interviews with each of the nominees and learn more about their work at federalnewsradio.com. Search Service to America.
Newsmakers, talk to Jared Serbu.
M.L. Mackey, the CEO and co-founder of Beacon Interactive Systems and vice chair of the National Defense Industrial Association Small Business Division.
When you, as the vendor, are having a difficult time with uncertainty, but your customer is full of uncertainty. Our DOD customer saying, I have no idea if I can get it under contract by the end of the year when the funds go away. That level of uncertainty is just wreaking havoc across the industrial base.
Hear the entire interview online at federalnewsradio.com/Jared Serbu.
Now for your Federal News Radio DOD report, brought to you by BAE Systems, afternoons at 40 minutes past the hour. DISA has given BlackBerry authority to operate on Defense Department networks. An estimated 30,000 BlackBerry 10s are slated to be on Pentagon networks by the end of the year. BlackBerry is the first mobile device management company to receive ATO security clearance. You get your DOD report brought to you by BAE Systems, afternoons at 40 minutes past the hour, on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Tim Hecht of Agilex is my guest on Industry Chatter today. He's writing about big data, and we've been talking about it throughout the course of the hour. And as we talked about in the last segment, Tim, a big part of solving the big data issue, I've mentioned my friend who said that the payoff will be when people are thinking instinctively, what if we wanted to know something in particular, whatever that fill in the blank is, and you took that to another level. I didn't know this information was there, was available through this. When something is that abstract, when that's the nut that we're trying to crack as far as, hey, we'll be successful when we're thinking and talking this way, how do you build a strategy to take you in that direction? As you just said, we're used to saying this is the goal we want to reach and these are the steps that we need to take, so we'll just start taking the steps and we'll get there. You can't do it that way when these are the kinds of themes that we're working around.
Yeah, I think it's really that's the crux of the matter. That's what makes this hard to get started. And it's not just hard for the folks with the problem. Like, as I mentioned earlier, it's hard for the folks who think they can help solve the problem. Mm-hmm. That's sort of where we are. so many times I have found myself with an instinct that the mission that our customer has is one that I can help advance given the data they've got, but without trying it, we won't quite know. Mm-hmm. And so there are a couple things, I think, to answer your question. One is, oftentimes there are some subset problems that are low-hanging fruit that you can sort of tell we'll be able to make meaningful progress. And so having those as early successes, while you get a chance to experiment with the bigger swings, you know, so it's a difference, you know, a few base hits while you are also have somebody swinging for the fences.
Yep.
And so having a strategy that allows you to have a little bit of each of those rather than nobody wants to be the program that's been trying to find an answer for 3 years and
right.
never come up with anything. So we're always very much about small, incremental, show value, then show a little bit more value and show a little bit more value. We have a government customer we're doing analytics, and it really started. We said we had this idea, and we were doing other work for them, so they knew us and trust us. We said we had this idea. They kind of rolled their eyes and said, we've been to that movie. We've tried that. And we said, well, we have some new ways. And so literally they said, okay, have one or two people spend just a little bit of time and see if you can provide evidence that idea has merit. You know, it's not even give me the answer.
Right.
It's just, but they trusted enough to try. It did. And now it's really doing cool stuff. But you've got to lean in a little bit to experiment with that.
Mm-hmm.
But almost by definition, some of these problems do not bear fruit until they've gotten really big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or else they would just be the little kind of old problems, mm-hmm. right?
Well, yes. And that makes sense fitting in the context of what we talked about earlier about thinking legacy versus thinking, well, I don't know, whatever name you want to attach to the way that we're trying to think about this stuff
yes.
now. That concept, getting around that, the small wins, that's something that we're seeing throughout government,
right.
All over, not even just IT anymore.
That's right.
Because of the risk aversion that agencies have. Every area.
That's right. Nobody wants these long, drawn out projects that we're holding our breath for the end of them for them to produce anything. We want iterative, transparent view and seeing progress at each and every step. The challenges with some of these big, hard analytic problems is you have to go pretty far down before you start to see the real promise of them. So how can you chunk it up and
yeah.
start to show? Again, maybe you're not showing the answer. You're showing evidence that an answer will be forthcoming.
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe that's pay dirt right there to some degree.
Well,
just the idea, because there's a difference between the answer and an answer.
That's right. And especially when the answer that you find yourself encountering is not one that was imagined at the beginning.
And maybe it wasn't even the question that you asked.
It wasn't even the question that you asked. It might be that we've had this where they go, we're down a totally different path, but what you have come upon is very valuable to us.
Right.
But similarly, what you have come upon is interesting but not valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be willing to fail as well as to succeed. You just have to fail quickly.
Yeah.
Right? So we talk about failing fast as a not that we're anxious to quickly fail, but that when we do fail, we want to learn from it and move on.
Yeah.
And rather than letting those failures take forever.
Yeah. Let's talk about progress and where that progress might go from here on out to wrap up in just a minute on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Tim Hext is the Chief Technology Officer at AgileX. My guest on Industry Chatter today. We'll be back in just a minute.
Nikki Nellis of Foodie and the Beast. This Sunday, August 11th, we are running last week's show because we had in all the guys who are participating in DC Beer Week. And guess what? DC Beer Week starts on the 11th. We thought we'd play it again. So listen in this Sunday, August 11th, for all the DC Beer Week news. That's Foodie and the Beast this Sunday and every Sunday at 11 a.m.
Has sequestration and budget cuts made performing vital IT functions difficult for your agency? If so, it's time to explore another option with SUSE Linux, the open source leader. Save time and money by lowering the cost of your operating system and associated products with SUSE's expanded support program. It's the fastest way to save money on your next Linux renewal and lower the cost of licensing without changing any of your applications or systems. Learn more at SUSE.com/spendless. That's SUSE.com/spendless. Or purchase on SUPE through CDWG.
Here's Gil Vega, Chief Information Security Officer, Department of Energy, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by HP.
Self-awareness of your infrastructure, if done correctly and efficiently, can really strengthen and converge your insider threat program with your cybersecurity program. And I think that's the vision for all federal agencies, to be able to converge on those two main issues.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Could your IT security have made you less secure? Traditional IT security defenses, firewalls, encryption, and intrusion detection systems are extremely effective, and that's the problem. They're so good that the bad guys now have a new target: exploitable vulnerabilities in software applications. HP can help you secure critical applications to run your agency's most vital operations by designing security in from the beginning, finding vulnerabilities inside existing software, and fixing them quickly and cost-effectively. Make security matter. HP.com/go/cybersecurity.
Threats evolve, stakes rise in a virtual blink. Agencies must balance cyber risks and rewards at threat speed. Turn to Deloitte. We blend public sector experience and private sector insights to help defense and civilian agencies manage threats and share information with trust, so you can manage the cyber risks you know and get ahead of the ones you don't. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. We help government help America.
If you're not reading federalnewsradio.com, you're missing out on the most read website in the federal market, featuring federal news and information that affects you every day. Here's what readers are saying about federalnewsradio.com.
I get updated on what's happening before we get the announcement from headquarters.
I get news here I can't seem to find anywhere else.
Federal News Radio treats federal employees as if we were human. What a refreshing change.
Make it your daily read for the news you need. federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Tim Hext of Agilex, my guest on Industry Chatter today. We've talked about where we are with data and the ways that that's collected and the ways that we try to analyze it and those kinds of things. What do you see on the horizon, Tim, for the, especially for the analysis and deployment process, the question-asking process? It looks like we're pretty good right now at collecting it, starting to get good at collating it. But I wonder what you see on the horizon for the rest.
I think there are a couple things. There are some technology things. We you talked about earlier how it's a little bit more about the information than the technology. And there are some technology things that are advancing that mostly help us deal with the scale. And that is not only volumes of data, but the compute power required to meaningfully analyze huge data sets. And so we see these in Hadoop clusters and sort of these massively parallel environments. And as those mature, we will be able to practically deal with larger volumes of data, assuming that larger volumes add value. The second is going to be around some of the analytic tools and techniques that are evolving to deal with these more abstract ways of looking at the data. So again, if I have a zillion bazillion records and I'm trying to search and find one of them, the tools to do that exist. It may be fast, it may be slow, but we know how to do that. If I'm trying to draw meaning from this data, which is some in English and some in other languages, and some of it's not text at all, it's imagery, the tools to draw that kind of meaning and relate those ideas with one another are advancing quickly. And frankly, on small data sets, were less interesting. And they're getting very interesting now that we're applying them to big data sets. So I think as those tools begin to scale further, as they begin to have better interfaces, so it doesn't require a PhD in mathematics to craft the data in such a way that it answers the question, but it has interfaces that a business user can start to interrogate and explore and discover rather than just query. Queries, no problem. It's not about query. It's about discovering what I didn't know I was looking for. As those tools evolve, then we'll really see when the mission people start exploring their data is really when we're going to see its value, rather than when those of us on the technology side are trying to guess how they might want to see it.
Is there such a thing as a Moore's Law for data, or is it possible that we'll see some corollary to Moore's Law that applies to data in the future? Trying to understand what the curve's going to look like for the future?
I don't know. My guess is Moore's Law applies. It's very much about the hardware and technology infrastructure to be able to deal with it. The data is growing. I don't know if the data is growing all that much faster, but it seems like the data to which any one group has access is growing much faster. And it's that computing infrastructure that is scaling the same way Moore set out a long time ago.
Yeah.
Maybe even faster now that you parallelize things. That is really making it all possible.
Which is really funny to me, because I remember reading something in one of the computer trades maybe 2 or 2.5 years ago that was proposing that we've now topped out on the need for technology to grow. We can do things now pretty much as fast as we're probably going to need to, and we have pretty much as much storage capacity as we're going to need to. And then big data comes along and throws all of that out the window and just proves how little we really know about what the future brings.
Yeah, that's like saying everything's been invented.
Yeah, that's true. Tim, there's a lot more we could talk about, and we're out of time, but it's been great to have you in the studio.
Oh, it's
again.
Been my pleasure.
Good to see
anytime.
You as always.
Thanks.
Tim Hext is the Chief Technology Officer at AgileX, and my conversation with Tim will be archived later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, where you can find out more about big data. We'll put a link to his blog post, too, called Me and My Data, so you can read along with that.